This is a message for members of Thrive and Financial for Lutherans. Thrive and Financial will match 50 cents on each dollar you donate to Lutheran Public Radio, up to $300. So if you donate $300 to Lutheran Public Radio, Thrivent will send us an additional check for $150. For more information, look for the Thrivent Giving Plus gift form under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Make your gift to us go further with Thrivent Giving Plus.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're coming to you live this Friday afternoon, October the 16th. In about 20 minutes on the program, we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. A day in advance here, we're going to remember with Dr. Thomas von Hegel, late 1st century, early 2nd century bishop and martyr Ignatius of Antioch. Who was he? What has he left to us in the church, and why is he still relevant to us in the 21st century? Dr. Thomas von Hegel is professor of theology at Concordia University, Chicago. He's author of the book One Lord, One Faith, One Baptism, Christians Through the Centuries. Dr. von Hegel, welcome back.
Thank you kindly for having me.
Is it possible, or can we even determine whether or not Ignatius of Antioch had direct contact with any of the biblical apostles?
Well, there's certainly some possibilities. He is put to death about 107, maybe 110 or a little bit later, but he certainly would have been a younger contemporary of someone like the Apostle John, some of the younger apostles who lived later. According to the tradition of the church, Peter was not only bishop at Rome, but earlier than that, he had for a short time been bishop in Antioch as well. And so there's certainly that you would expect if Ignatius had been first a deacon and then a priest before he became the bishop of Antioch, that he would have not only heard but also listened to the teaching and also been trained by Peter to rise up in the ranks of office. There is the later tradition, much later from the Middle Ages, and it's probably not true, but it's still kind of interesting, and that's that Ignatius was one of the little children who Jesus suffered to come unto him and sat upon Jesus' knee. So I say there's no historical evidence of that whatsoever, but it's just a wonderful little story that I always enjoy.
Is there a way to also figure out what is meant by the term bishop this early in the church's history?
Well, in part, it's it would simply be based upon the biblical text, Paul's epistles. But as Ignatius travels from Antioch to Rome, where he'll be thrown to the lions in his martyrdom, he addresses a number of topics, martyrdom. And he writes a number of letters, and in these letters he often speaks of the bishop and in a number of fashions. When he goes to a community as he's traveling under armed guard, the bishop will often, from a congregation, will come and visit him, and Ignatius will mention that the singularity of the bishop is symbolic of the unity of the church. He often admonishes the congregations the members of the congregation to listen to and follow the example and teachings of the bishop, because the bishop speaks and acts on behalf of Christ in the congregation. And one of Ignatius' greatest talents is he has these wonderful images that he paints in his letters. And one of my favorites is where he portrays God as he who sets the pitch. And then the clergy are the strings of a lyre, right? So you have a bishop and then the priests and deacons, and each string has a different note, but they're all played in harmony. And then the people in the congregation sing in the choir. So all of that works together. So, he does, in a number of fashions, portray the place and the role of the bishop in the early community in a number of fashions.
Talk about what we know of his life and then working toward his martyrdom.
He's a bishop in Antioch, and so that would have entailed he would have been this single figure who would have been responsible for oversight and leadership, preaching and baptizing and the like in Antioch, the church, and the surrounding area. He is arrested, and one of the practices of the day was, in as the Roman Empire tried to persecute Christianity, any Christian was certainly liable to be persecuted, but the Romans learned rather quickly that it was best to seek out the leaders, because if you could get a bishop to recant, then possibly you could get his followers to recant. And at the very least, if you put the bishop to death, then the people no longer have a bishop and may also be like sheep without a shepherd. So Ignatius is arrested. He's taken under armed guard from the eastern end of the empire in Antioch. Antioch is in Syria, just north of the Promised Land, taken all the way to the west side in Rome, in Italy. And as he travels, as I mentioned before, various bishops and sometimes their priests and deacons will, on behalf of a congregation, come and visit him and bring words of comfort and hope and speak about churchly matters. And then Ignatius also writes a series of letters to a variety of, actually, six congregations in Asia Minor. Let's see, and Rome as well. So it's Ephesus and the congregation in Magnesia and Trail. As I mentioned, Rome. Others will probably Philadelphia, and there's another one. And then he also writes. He writes to the Christians in Smyrna, and then also writes a letter to Polycarp, who's bishop in Smyrna, who will later become a rather famous martyr when he's suffers his death for the sake of his proclamation of the Jesus in the gospel. In these letters, he, as you would expect, addresses any number of issues of the Christian faith. He very much focuses on martyrdom, but by no means is simply focused only on that. He addresses any number of issues, and after probably well over a month or so of travel, of meeting with Christians and their leaders and writing these letters, he finally arrives in Rome, where he is finally put to death. There actually is a martyrdom or passion of Ignatius floating around, but most scholars think it's quite late and probably is not a terribly accurate description of the actual event of Ignatius' martyrdom. You'd asked me something earlier, and I've been talking enough. I'm not sure if I remember exactly what you wanted me, so I'll send it back to you, and you can maybe get more specific on what you'd like me to say if there's something else.
Well, could we call these letters that Ignatius of Antioch writes to these churches, are they a pretty accurate picture of life in the earliest church post-apostle?
Yeah, very much so. The style and I would encourage folks if you have or have not heard of Ignatius or haven't read these, they're rather delightful to read. They're very much styled after the Pauline epistles, where Paul's writing to the Christians in Corinth and Romans and Galatians and so forth, and Ignatius does the same thing. Or has a similar style. They've been translated into English. In fact, they're all online. There are any number of websites where you can read these things online. They're relatively short. They're more the size of Paul's letters to Ephesians and Galatians rather than Romans and Corinthians that are maybe a bit longer. In terms of the theology of the Christian faith of the day, seems to be virtually identical with that of the New Testament church. Any number of examples could be mentioned. One of my favorites is Ignatius' mention of the blood of Christ and his repetition of using it. In the day, there were Docetists who didn't believe that Christ was truly came in flesh and blood. And so Ignatius on more than one occasion points out that, that Christ was a true man. He had real blood. And so as Christians, we look to that blood because it's upon the cross where he sheds that blood upon the cross for us and our for our salvation. And then as Christians, we then have great show reverence towards that blood, and we desire that blood. And so in the Lord's Supper, we not only eat of his body, but we drink of this most precious blood that was real, that was shed for us and for our salvation. And in the Lord's Supper, we drink of that same blood. And then he has this wonderful description of it where he calls it the medicine of immortality, that in our lives, of course, we're sinners and we'll die. He portrays false doctrine as poison that has been covered with honey, so we don't realize what we're eating, and so we're a dying people. We often partake of poison, but it's the blood of Christ in the Lord's Supper that is that medicine that will cure us from our spiritual ills and will give to us eternal life. And he even uses the blood of Christ in greeting, to greet fellow Christians in the blood of Christ. And he does much of the same thing with the flesh of Christ as well. So in terms of the teachings and beliefs of Ignatius and, you know, the beginning of the second century, whether it's the realistic understanding of the Lord's Supper, the value of God's gifts to us in it, the fact that Christ was both the Son of God, but also was born of the Virgin Mary and had true flesh and blood. So, yeah, very, very biblical New Testament kind of theology is in his letters.
All right, when we come back, one more question for Dr. Thomas von Hegel. We're going to be asking him about why all of this fascinating history, why is it still relevant for us to remember Ignatius of Antioch? When we come back, that last question, and then we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week to round off this hour of Issues Etc. on this Friday afternoon, October the 16th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned.
What makes Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois so special? Our new members talk about the family atmosphere, the welcoming people, and the outstanding music. But most importantly, you'll be confronted with your sin and comforted with the assurance that Jesus has removed that sin so that you can live each day as his baptized and forgiven child. Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church is at 612 North State Street in Freeburg, Illinois. Sunday worship is at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:20 a.m. Call 618-539-5664.
You're invited this summer to an exploration and study tour of the lives of Martin Luther and J.S. Bach. This tour of Germany will be led by Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Matt Phillips of Concordia University, Nebraska. See where Luther and Bach were born, lived, worked, and died. For more information on a tour of Germany, June 1st through the 10th, call area code 402-643-7444 or send an email to matthew.phillips@cune.edu.
Evangelical and Catholic. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Young pro-lifers catch Planned Parenthood in the act.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Young pro-lifers have organized to expose Planned Parenthood. Through something called the Mona Lisa Project, these mostly college students go undercover to abortion clinics and conduct hidden camera investigations. In one case, an Alabama abortion clinic suggests bending the rules of the state's parental consent laws to cover up a case of statutory rape. Despite a consistent pattern of lawlessness and abuse, Planned Parenthood continues to receive hundreds of millions of tax dollars a year. Says the group's founder, the people of Alabama have a right to know how Planned Parenthood treats vulnerable young girls.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
One student armed with the biblical languages, ready to preach and teach the blessed gospel for a lifetime,
is worth 100 whiz-bang programs.
If a flea is harnessed to a racehorse and it wins the race, the flea wins, but not because of anything in him.
I will end Don't Ask, Don't Tell. That's my commitment to you.
It's a robbery of the laity when that creed is ripped from their hands. One of the things that we do is to recite this summary of our faith together. And that summary helps keep us honest.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. In about 5 minutes here on the program, we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. You heard a taste of those soundbites are coming up. You'll hear them all, and then you get a chance to vote 1-877-623-6943 or talk back at issuesetc.org. Thrivent Financial for Lutherans is doing a great thing for Issues Etc. and for our listeners. They have expressed the willingness to match 50 cents on the dollar whatever you donate to Lutheran Public Radio up to a gift of $300. That means if you make a gift of $300 to Issues Etc., having it matched by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, and you do that by filling out the Giving Plus gift form at the donate page of our website, they will write an additional check to Lutheran Public Radio for $150, turning your $300 into $450. And it's any gift up to that amount. Find out more at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Donate. You'll find the Giving Plus gift form, and then mail your check along with the form to Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Dr. Thomas von Hagel is with us for just a few more minutes. He's professor of theology at Concordia University, Chicago, author of the book One Lord, One Faith, One Baptism, Christians Through the Centuries. One last question for you, Dr. von Hagel. Why should Christians in the 21st century be concerned with and remember the likes of Ignatius of Antioch?
Certainly, we could say because he's a martyr, and the lives of the martyrs are certainly significant. One that very much interests me and I just find personally exciting is to be able to read the fathers of the church within a decade or so of the apostles themselves writing. So you have John the Apostle writing in the 90s and Ignatius writing a dozen years later. I mean, to me, that's to be able to see that contemporary literature of the New Testament Christians and to have it so close, so tied in, so strongly based, and to see their faith and to see a man who was a bishop and a martyr and a teacher of the Christian faith, certainly a man we can give thanks to God for working through, certainly a man we can imitate in our own lives, those of us who are preachers and teachers and simply interested in the Christian faith.
Dr. Thomas von Hagel is professor of theology at Concordia University, Chicago. He's author of the book One Lord, One Faith, One Baptism, Christians Through the Centuries. You can find out more about this book under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. You can also purchase the book One Lord, One Faith, One Baptism by calling Concordia Publishing House, their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Dr. von Hagel, thank you again.
Thank you kindly for having me.
Thanks to all our fans at Facebook, the Issues Etc. fans there, for getting us over 3,000 fans at our Facebook fan page. That is facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. If you're not a fan already, go there, sign up for Facebook, and become an Issues Etc. fan. You'll be able to interact with other fans, comment on photos that we put up from the studio. You'll be able to get a brief preview of what's coming up sometimes each week at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, and add to the growing number, over 3,000 now, thanks to everybody who's already joined.